We're going to start in Romans 12. If they pull it up, we probably have seen it enough by now that we have it memorized. 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Ouch. A living sacrifice. He's not playing, is he? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy. Not just anyway, but he wants us to be holy. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? The flesh can't get in the way if we're being holy, right? Verse 2 says, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people and to fellowship over your word with them. I pray that something that's said would touch hearts and resonate and bring about change in our lives, mine included. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm an addict and an alcoholic. For years, I went to meetings, and that's what they said I should say. I went to a counselor, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with counselors and nothing wrong with the AA program. That's not my point. But I was told that I had a disease that was incurable, that my disease was addiction, and that the best I could hope for was that we could get it in remission, just like cancer. And you know, that's not a very pleasant thought to be carrying around, is, you know, that I've got this monkey on my back for the rest of my life that I'm going to have to battle, so why fight it? And that's the point I came to. I was raised in a Christian family. Many of you know my father was a very powerful man of God. And I gave my life to the Lord in my late teens. I gave my life to the Lord. I received the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. I was on fire for the things of God for a while, but I didn't guard it. We had a successful business and the business grew and I got more committed to business than I did to God. And along the way, when you fall out of love with God and fall in love with something else, there's other mistresses that come along. And at the age of 30, I hit the crack pipe. I fell out of love with farming, I fell out of love with Jesus, and I fell in love with crack cocaine. For the next 16 years, I struggled with alcohol, crack, and sex addictions, and I use the word struggle rather loosely because I really didn't fight it. I just let it run rampant in my life. I figured it's bigger than me, and why fight it? So it didn't take long for me to become a full-blown crack addict, and in the process, I lost my family, which my family's here today. Hallelujah. I lost them temporarily, let me say that. God had a different plan. I'm going to share with you the plan that God has, but I'd lost my family, I'd lost my business. Everybody around me thought I'd lost my mind too. Obviously I had, with the choices I was making. I had over 25 arrests on my record and 2 felony counts. Eating out of dumpsters like most of us addicts do, because we can't spend our money on food because we got to spend it on crack. September 20th of the year 2000, I woke up that morning and it was different. I wasn't fiending for dope for the first time in 15 years. Wasn't fiending for dope, and just, what's different? What's going on here? Why am I not fiending? And I looked outside and the sky was the most beautiful blue I've ever seen in my life. And the sun was shining so bright. I knew that the Holy Spirit was coming alive within me and stirring up. I told you I'd received the Holy Spirit many years ago, but I quenched him for so long and kept him down that my heart was seared to the Holy Spirit and I couldn't hear him. But that morning I knew that he was stirring in my life, and so I got up and I went to my sponsor. God had miraculously, only God could do this, and I don't even know how I was so clouded at that time. I don't even know how I met Nick Stojakovich, but he was a man of God first, and he was a recovering man second. And so every time I'd go to him, he'd always want to talk about Jesus. Well, this day, I wanted to talk about Jesus because I knew that was something. There was something more going on in my life than just me having remorse about my life choices at this time. So Nick prayed with me, and I prayed the simplest prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, if you'll change me, I'll serve you for the rest of my days. And man, I meant that prayer from the bottom of my heart. I got saved that day. I got delivered. I got redeemed. Jesus Christ came into my life, and we were on a new path. Colossians 1 and 12, I want to read this because, man, this is a description so close to what happened to me. If they could pull it up, Colossians. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Yes. It says, giving thanks to the Father who, one, he qualified me that day to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Two, he delivered me from the power of darkness. He conveyed me into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. And four, he redeemed me through his blood, and he forgave my sins. For the first time in 16 years, all of a sudden, I could make a choice. For 16 years, crack dictated my life. I didn't have any options. Today, that day, I had a choice. I'd been through six different treatment programs and had a 0% success rate. All six times, come back out, and 3 weeks later, I was back out to the same people, places, and things. The problem was I took Paul into the facility, and guess who came out with me? Paul. I kept bringing Paul right back out, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Is that insanity or not? But I knew this morning, that day on September 20th, I knew there was something different going on, so I knew I needed to do something different. So God put an urgency in me to get myself baptized because I wanted to make changes in my life. I never wanted to go back to that Paul before. If we look in Romans 6, I want to show you what happened the day I got baptized. Romans 6, 1 through 8. We're not going to read all of it, but I'm going to pick and choose a little, bounce around a little bit. But it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in our addictions that grace may abound? Yeah, addictions, that's what it says. Certainly not. How shall we who died to crack live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, there's two phrases here I want you to catch. The first one is in Christ Jesus. We're baptized in Christ Jesus. And it talks about newness of life. So what happened that day when I got baptized, I still remember. I remember what I had on. I remember everything about that day because I was so excited about getting baptized because I had an expectation from God for something to advance me further into this new walk that he called me to. And so when I went down the stairs on this side, and I went down and I was crucified, I was buried with Christ in that water that day. And when I walked up the stairs on this side, I was a new creation. I come up in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, just like we read right here, how are we in Christ? We're in Christ at baptism. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Newness of life. New creation. Old things passed away. The old Paul passed away. He's still dead in the bottom of that pool. This Paul standing before you, I can tell you that I've never smoked crack. I've never drank a drop of alcohol. I've never cheated on my wife. That Paul, now I got other issues, don't get me wrong, but those were the issues of that Paul. I'm dealing today with some things that God's doing in my life today. But we're going to get to that in just a minute, all right? I'm pressing on towards the mark of the prize, okay? That's all I can do is press on. I want you to understand that baptism is not just a formality, but there's a transformation that takes place in baptism. Any of you need a transformation? Like the pastor said, the water is still in the pool, all right? I had shared earlier that I'd received the Holy Spirit at an early age and quenched him over the course of those 16 years, became dull of hearing. But I knew that the day I got baptized, God started making ways, like with employment and stuff, and I could take hours to tell you what all God did in my life. But I knew that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was alive in me and was leading me, and I could hear him tell me things and correcting me, and it was such an exciting time, and not was, but is such an exciting time because he's still doing it. Amen. There's a passage in, hang on just a second, Ephesians 5 and 18. Ephesians 5 and 18. They'll get it up there in just a minute. Is it up there? Good. And it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Is that the verse that's up there? Yeah. So I don't think that Paul's addressing the wine aspect of this. I think this is an analogy for us to comprehend the relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives. That it's, you know, that word filled means under the influence. Just like, you know how, some of you, I know what it's like to be under the influence of alcohol. I spent years under the influence of alcohol and was out of control. Okay? And it did harm because it was alcohol. But in the same sense, God wants us to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Good things are going to happen when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are going to change because he's going to be leading us down a path of righteousness. Alcohol, it leads us someplace else, but it's still the same principle to be under the influence, be totally under the control, be slain in the Holy Spirit or whatever you want to call it. Acts 2 and 4, on the day of Pentecost, you know, we see Peter as a... when he was Jesus' disciple, we saw Peter failing. You know, I can relate a lot to Peter and his failures. He tried to walk on water and he failed, didn't he? A man brought his son to Peter and a couple of the other disciples to cast the demons out. They failed. Jesus told Peter the night that he was betrayed, Jesus told Peter, he says, here's what's going to happen. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter says, Jesus, I'd never do that. I'll go to jail with you. In fact, I'll go to death with you, Jesus. And guess what happened a couple hours later? He heard the rooster crow. And he remembered what Jesus told him. And it says he wept bitterly. I believe Jesus, or Peter, had a come to Jesus moment. I believe he had a repentant heart right there. He said, never will I go back again. And shortly after that, 40 some days later, we see him with the 120 in the upper room. And it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. And what did he do? All of a sudden, being ashamed of Jesus, he stands up and he preaches one of the greatest sermons. 3,000 people got saved. What was different about the Peter before and the Peter afterwards? He was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What would happen here in this church if we all come under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Exciting things will happen, I promise you. We'll see 3,000 people get saved. We'll see people healed. We'll see people getting up and walk. We'll see the blind seeing and the deaf hearing. Same God yesterday, today, and forever, right? I want to close with Romans. Back to Romans 12. I want to bring this all together. Romans 12, I want to look down in verses 4 through 8. Let me catch up with my notes, please. Kind of get ahead of myself a little bit. Romans 12, 4 through 8. This is talking about comparing our bodies, our physical bodies, to the body of Christ, which all of us are part of. It says, for as we have many members, I've got hands, I've got arms, I've got legs, I've got feet with toes on them, and I got hands with fingers on them. We have all kinds of different members of our body, right? It says, as we have many members in one body, but all members don't have the same function. My hand doesn't do what my feet do. Some people can walk on their hands for a while, but traditionally we walk on our feet, don't we? Okay, we don't eat food with our feet. We feed ourselves with our hands, right? So we all have a particular contribution to make to the, you know, my different body parts have a contribution to make to my body as a whole for me to function and survive, right? And so the same thing with the members of the body of Christ here. It says, we being many are one body and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, ooh, that's a scary one, isn't it? That takes a lot of faith. But you know what? There's some people that are gifted to prophesy. It may not be your gift. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Teaching, use our skills in teaching. He who exhorts with exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy, do it cheerfully. And when you're operating in your gift, it's easy to do, okay? If you're a hand, it's not hard to pick up something and throw it or eat with it or whatever, because that's what a hand's created to do. And if you're a leg, you know, it's not hard to be a leg and move your feet, because that's what you're designed to do. And so each one of us are designed to do something in the body of Christ right here. And we're not going to be a healthy body until we're all doing what God's called us to do, and until we're all under the influence in our particular gift, okay? So I want to talk just a moment about the gifting. We have a class that I want to bring up here when we're talking about the body of Christ and what your function is and what your function is and what my function is. And if you don't know, we have a Grow Series class that my wife teaches, does an excellent job, because everything she does is with the spirit of excellence. I will vouch for that. So, if you know, I would highly recommend to anybody that's a member of this body, and especially if you're in a place of leadership, that you should attend this Grow Series class. It's only 4 weeks. It starts the first Sunday of each month. You'll learn what your gift is. What can you do to contribute to the body of Christ here? And then the only thing you have to do is be under the influence, be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Once you know what your gift is, then just allow the Holy Spirit to use you to do it. And when you do that, we'll see signs and wonders. We'll see great things that we've never imagined or thought about. So speaking of imagining or thinking about, 23 years after God sobered me up, today I stand before you. I do have a sound mind. I'm not crazy. I got a beautiful wife that loves me and tolerates me and instructs me and cleans me up. She was getting scissors and trimming my hair this morning a little bit, you know. God's restored my family. Stand up, please. Stand up for me. I want you to see what God's blessed me with. I've got three children and their spouses. Jeanette and I both do. We have three children and their spouses. We've got 12 grandchildren now. And if God hadn't done what he did back on September 20th, that it talks about in Colossians 1 about delivered me from the power of darkness, I would never be able to enjoy this. How great is our God? Hallelujah. He's blessed us with a successful business. We have a house that's paid for. I could go on. I got a family here, a spiritual family, that I love you guys, and I really believe that you love me. And I want to be intoxicated in the spirit with all of you. In fact, I got to find my notes here because I'm trying to wing it, but there's something important I want to challenge us with, okay? I'm a lot like Pastor in this respect, like, you know, I'm going to just take off and run with it. And then I lose track of where I'm running to. Oh, I just found my map. But I'm going to challenge all of us for 1 week. We're going to take baby steps, okay? I want you, each morning, you know, the word renewing, it doesn't say to just renew your mind, does it? It says renewing our mind. So it sounds to me like it's an ongoing process, isn't it? You know, it's renewing, right? So I want us, each morning when we wake up this week, I want us to take a few moments and focus and renew our mind each day this week, all right? I want you to do something this week. I'm not talking about the fast, but just something. Take something this week and lay it down for 1 week. Just for 1 week. You know, maybe like an hour TV, take it out. Or an hour Facebook. You know, that still leaves you 10 hours on it. But let's do something. Let's start getting under the influence of the Holy Spirit, okay? Let's spend some time under his influence. Let's put God first this week. For 1 week, God, you're first and foremost in my life. And before I plan on anything else, let me check with you. Let's make up our mind. Do we need to get in the grow class? Is there something we can benefit from the grow class that could, and not what can you benefit from it, but what can we benefit from you being in there? What can you bring to us? Because we need you. We all need each other. All right? If you have some things that, some chains and strongholds in your life, Eddie's teaching a freedom class that God will set you free. All right? We've got to put things into action. We can't sit back and just think it's going to come to us. All right? Let's begin to function a little bit more as the body of Christ would function, or else we're going to starve to death, okay? Let's start building up, encouraging each other. Your gift might be a gift of hugging someone or telling someone, man, you know what, I love you. Or call up someone and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. Let's start taking some of these steps to encourage. And if you start doing it, the next person's going to start doing it. Then all of a sudden we're all doing it, and wow, where would we be? Where will we be when we do that? At the end of our days, I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, who are you? Get behind me. I never knew you. Man, I want him to say, Paul, you know what? You made some mistakes, but I'm still well pleased with you. Hallelujah. Marlene, go ahead and take off, but I want to share one more thing. God is so good because for several years I kind of checked out the ministry. We had some things come up in the business and I got overwhelmed with stuff in the business. And so I went to, at that time, Elder Walton pastor and told him that I needed to step down for a while because I had to put out some fires, literally, at the business. And we were rebuilding, and so we got all the thing rebuilt and got all the thing back up and going again. The problem is I stayed checked out. I didn't get back in the fight. I started putting other things before God. I kept God over here while I put this fire out. Instead of bringing God back and getting things back in order, I started playing more golf. I started working harder in the business. We let some people go so I could work harder. Guess who suffered the most? I did, because I was hurting inside. The Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Man, he was dealing with me. And you know how I am, man. I am hard, you know. My wife says I'm hard-headed. I think she's right, because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me and I kept ignoring it. Well, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. You know, golf is okay because I get fresh air and I'm getting exercise and da-da-da-da-da. I had all kinds of reasons why it wasn't wrong. Obviously, working, there's nothing wrong with working, because the Bible says to work so you can have to give. So I had justifications for everything, but it was the good things weren't the best things. The good things weren't the God things. So in January, during the fast this year, I finally said, you know what, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. So I made some things right in my life. I put some things back in order. You know, one of the things I was doing was coming in here, and I need Kleenex. You know, one of the things I was doing wrong, I'd come in here on Sundays, and you know, Sundays has always been a special day for me for ministering and hanging around in fellowship and then just, you know, praying with people. And you know, that was food for me to do that. And I'd hooked up with some guys playing golf, and we played on Sunday afternoon. And so I found myself dragging Jeanette out of the church so I could get to the tee. So I called the guys after the fast. I called my friends, and they're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. It was me. God was dealing with me on something different than them. And so I called them up and told them, look, I'm not going to be playing golf on Sundays, so you'll have to find somebody else, because God's got a different direction for me. When Pastor would ask me to share, Pastor asked me several times to share, and I would say no. I don't know, 3 or 4 times I turned him down. But this time I knew he was going to ask me. And I knew that no wasn't an option. Because I can't pick and choose what's convenient for me if God's first in my life. If I'm first in my life, then I can make those decisions. But if God's first in my life, I got to make his decisions, and I've got to honor what he says to do. So I want you to know that I'm back, okay? But I want you all to come back with me, okay? I want us to do this together. I want us to be the light that's sitting up on the hill here, that the world knows that, wow, you got to go to Abundant Faith because they love you. I remember I want to tell you, real quick, one of the things that attracted me to this church during the midst of my addictions, and I was sitting right back over there, and JJ, it was on a Wednesday night, it might have been the first service I was ever at, JJ come up to me, and he gave me a big hug, and he says, he didn't know my name or anything, he just says, I want to tell you that I love you, and God loves you. And I looked at him and said, you don't even, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, you don't even know who I am. If you knew who I was, how could you say you love me? Because I am a mess. But you know what? He meant it. He meant it. And you all are a loving bunch, but we got to step it up one more notch. Instead of telling everybody we love them, we got to start doing our part so that we can be one body in Christ. All right? I'm ready. Anybody else want to join me? Hallelujah.